prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
You know, I'm the biggest screw-up in this room of sin and stupidness, and it never ends, right? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the gospel. That's the motivation. That's why we do what we do, because we blew it yesterday, but by the grace of God, it's today. And I have every reason to do better today because I'm already going to heaven. I'm already in God's favor. I'm already part of the kingdom. There's a huge difference from where I was to where I'm going. And Paul, of all the people who could not be worthy, Paul was not worthy, but by the grace of God, he is what he is. And by his grace to me was not without effect. No, Paul writes, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, that Christ has been raised from the dead. Bam, he nails it again. By the way, Jesus is alive. How can some of you say, then, there is no resurrection of the dead? He finally gets to the point. Some of you are saying people aren't going to come back to life. How can you say that? That's his point. There were folks back in those days who believed that once you died, that's it. And I don't know if you saw Fox News when interviewed that atheist rally a couple weeks ago. And they'd ask him, so, where are you going to go when you die? The guy's like, I don't know. I don't care. Nothing's going to happen. I'm just not going to exist. And you can see the brains in this guy melting. It's like, poor soul. He's going to be horrifically, horrifyingly surprised that it... Yes, and hot. Yes, that's an understatement. So now I'm going to jump to Matthew chapter 12, 27, because at this time, Jesus has this discussion with Sadducees. These are religious leaders back in the day, Jewish religious leaders who did not believe in a bodily resurrection. And so they try to trick Jesus with this parable, and Jesus is like, yeah, right, here we go. So after he smacks him around a bit, pokes him in the eyes a couple times, That's in the New Living Translation. Then he says, now about the dead rising. Have you not read in the book of Moses? Now that's the first five books of the Bible, by the way, including Genesis. I cannot tell you. I'm just going to go to the awesomest book. Well, they're all awesomest. But the awesomest one at the beginning of the Bible, which is Genesis. You want to get people to attack you, post or tweet about Genesis. And that it was really written the way God wrote it. And people, Christians, atheists, they come after you because they can't have God meaning what he said in Genesis. They have to attack that with vehement passion. They hate how God made creation. And they got to rename it, rechange it, replace it, re-put it, redo it. Anything but what is written. It's insane how they attack that truth. Anyway, so Jesus happens to... goes right back into those books, and he says, in the account of the bush, how God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus says, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. That's what Jesus says to these religious people. You are wrong, is what he said. You understand? So now we go back to Corinthians chapter 15, 13. Now Paul starts to build this argument. He says, all right, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. Whoa, it's either all or nothing. And that's what Paul was getting at. And I think here are some interesting points that I put on your bulletin is, if Christ had not been raised, preaching is useless. What's the point? Why not just get good help shows on, like Oprah, or why not just get a good self-help book like Church for Dummies, right? Right? Why not get that stuff? Because what's the point? Let's just all have a good get-together, feel-together barbecue. Because eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Period. The heathens got it right. What's the point? Then, of course, it makes all preachers liars. Doesn't it? Jesus Christ is alive! Whoops! There's a big problem. You all have eternal life! Whoops! It destroys everything. Everything of the Old Testament and the New Testament hinge on the one historical event that Jesus was raised to life. Everything is focused on that one piece. Without that one piece, everything is gone. That's the most crucial part about Easter. Of everything else, that's the most crucial part. Also, your faith is useless and futile, and you're still in your sins. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, it wasn't just his death. It had to be the resurrection to show the complete victory over death, over sin. If he didn't come back to life, we would still be in our sin. It wouldn't be enough. Do you understand? Jesus had to show victory over death. That's essential to the theology of Christ and who we follow. If not, we're doomed. And that's pretty much what he says. And then also, everyone who's passed away are lost. That would make sense. And most, here's the kicker. He says, and of all Christians are to be the most pitied. Let's take a look at that. For if the dead have not been raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Any other religion is better than the Christian religion if Jesus isn't alive. Everything hinges on that. We are not a feel-good community group. There's plenty of those. We are followers of Jesus Christ, the living God. No other religion has a living God. Jesus is it. Thankfully, for the holy butts, the Bible is full of these terms, which means but, meaning contrary to the lie, is the truth. Just keeping you awake. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Any idea if first Paul believed there was a literal Adam? Any question to that? Because there was a real dude named Adam. And he had a wife, a real lady named Eve. They were really two people. And because they blew it, we grow old and die. Because of them. And Paul names them. Names Adam by his name. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. All people? He quantifies that. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. See, and that's the kicker. Remember at the pearly gates or God's, there's the great white throne of judgment and then there's the mercy seat. As a Christian, you want to be at the mercy seat where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. If you end up at the God's great white throne of judgment, you're going to be judged according to your works. Very, very bad. You do not want to be judged by your works, ever. forever. And then you're going to have Jesus. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You never needed me. You thought you were good enough. You thought you had to clean yourself up before you came to me. You thought you didn't need me, or you thought you needed me, and then you didn't need me at all. That's the most horrific thing people are going to hear, is Jesus say, depart from me. I never knew you. He's the advocate. That's his role, is to be the advocate, the reconciliation between God and man. If he's not that, and you hear that, and then you, all you end up is the judgment of God, and that is terrifying. Then, back in Corinthians, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after, look at this, after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, and on power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is not natural. Death is your and my enemy. And one day God will destroy it. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff right there, man. I tell you, doing this sermon has been a blast. So now, as we start to wrap this up, jumping down to 42, I'm jumping over a bunch of verses in chapter 15, but it's good, beefy, meaty content. I encourage you to consume it as much as you can. But in verse 42, he starts talking about what this resurrection of the dead will be like. First of all, Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus, I mean, that's exactly what it means. He's the first one to be brought back from the dead. He is the first fruit. He is our resurrection. And now we're going to talk about this in detail. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown perishable. It'll be raised imperishable. This has to take place, this transition. It'll be sown in dishonor. It'll be raised in glory. It'll be sown in weakness. It'll be raised in power. It'll be sown a natural body. It'll be raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. You see the contrast? This, you know, we're cosmic larvae in the sense, how many caterpillars and butterflies does God have to put on this planet to help us get the message? Hello? That's exactly what those butterflies are here for. I mean, and in that particular case, how does an evolutionist explain that the DNA for the caterpillar and the butterfly are all in there, and it just so happens to know at the right time to deactivate all these DNAs and reactivate these new ones, and all of a sudden, it turns from a little buggy thing into this glorious flopping flower. How does it, yeah, what a coincidence, evolution. Anyway, God did that concisely on purpose. It has to work perfectly the way it's built to get it done. God did that. Duh. Anyway, and then he gives that to us as an example. There's a zillion examples from creation, and we know that from Romans 1, that shouts of God's glory. So then Paul goes on to say, listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. But we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Whoa, that's a serious promise. That's some incredible stuff. Where do I even go with that? There's so much goodness. Part of it there, there's a hint at the rapture. If you're a premillennialist like I am, then one day people will be walking along, the last trumpet will call, and poof, they're gone. They're just transformed, translated on the way up. And they got their new body, new soul, there's the Lord floating in the air. Everything rocks! And then whoever left below is in for a bad, bad time. Because then God's wrath is just going to start pouring out on them. Boom. Boom. And they know it's God because they're shaking their fist at him. That's what it's read in Revelation. They even know it's God going, we don't like you doing this. They're mad at God. Anyway, but That's that little rapture ticket. But on the same note, then in verse 15, the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. See, and this is the big kicker. Let this one soak in, please. Let this soak in. We're not alive. This isn't life. This isn't life according to the Bible. This is life, immortality. We're not there yet. This life stinks. I had to take 2 Tylenol this morning because my crown is killing me. And I got this neck pain, right? And how many of you got pains and injuries and you're popping the pills just to be happy? Understand, this isn't life. This is not how God meant it. This is the prelude. Death is going to do its little thing here on this earth. But the mortal will be swallowed up by immortality. We will be something else. I don't know what movies triggers you or what visions or what views or vistas you see, but this isn't it. It hints, C.S. Lewis called it surprised by joy. When those moments that, whoa, there's something way cooler, something way bigger. We all know it in our hearts if we're not afraid to shut up and listen. We know in our hearts there's something more. We know this. And the scripture's shouting it at us. If we read it. And finally, 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, Christ, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. That's incredible. We have to be like Him, else we'd burn up in the glory. We have to put on the imperishable. And so as we're wrapping it up now in 1 Corinthians 15:54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. But the power of sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means we follow Him. Christ means the Anointed One. Our Lord, our King, our Savior, Jesus, the Anointed One. That's what makes us Christians. That's who we follow. Oh, I just had to jump over to Acts for a moment. Do you know where Jesus is and how He did leave the earth? Because He isn't on the earth right now. Do you know what happened? Here it is. Acts 9:11. After He had said this, He was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid Him from their sight. After 40 days of saying, I'm alive, I'm alive. He says, come on over this mountain, watch this. And off He goes. And now they're looking intently in the sky. What's your intently look? And suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And what? Whoa! Right? This is what's going on. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. When Jesus does return, the whole world will know it. There won't be a question. There won't be, I just saw Jesus down the street. No, really, He's over here. He's back in Jerusalem. No, everybody will know because He's going to come bursting out of heaven, ripping open eternity, and hello, folks, and it's going to be an incredible show. So, here's how we respond. Here's how He wraps up chapter 15. He says, therefore, my dear brothers, here it is. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. No matter what National Geographic stupidness, no matter what the TV tells you, no matter what preachers who don't believe in Genesis tell you, no matter what anybody says, let nothing move you. Always. Wait a minute. Stop it. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always. That means work it, think it, ahead of time, premeditate it, always, always. How long does always last? Always. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why do you exist? Lord, help me. What is my purpose in life? I just can't seem to figure it out in these big glowing yellow words. Lord, what's my role? I think we know. Can you dig it? That's right. All right. And here's why. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus is alive. So, so I'm going to leave you one little video to see of all the things Jesus has done for you.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.